The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
He would throw all of them under the bus. Both of his sons, it's already been stated and reported that he would throw Don Jr. under the bus first before he'd throw Ivanka on the bus, under the bus. And so, I, because he's always had that infatuation with that young lady, and it's really sad.
Those teams can't be held accountable to anybody else but themselves. So until they get sued that they break up the NFL in an antitrust kind of way, then nothing's going to happen. So they do everything at all costs to not have discovery.
He never spoke out against Trump. And Trump has been touting that same line that Pence could have done this, Pence could have done that. He is not lightened up on that. He's been saying that since the beginning, and he's still going after Pence, and he's still saying this stuff. Why is Pence doing this now? Trump ain't changed his tune, but Pence has.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is August 25th, 2024, and you're in tune to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which is the Sunday morning roundtable, where our panelists bring their topics to the table. Can't wait to hear what we got going on this morning, but in the meantime, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. It's time for the Sunday morning prayer. We'll be right back after this.
Online radio at its best.
Thank you for joining us for our Sunday morning prayer. Feel free to pray alongside me or to listen in silence. A Sunday morning prayer is something we can always remember to do on a Sunday. It is, after all, to honor the Sabbath. We need to remember that this is the day of the Lord. Join me in praising the Lord on this special day. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all the bounty and love you've brought me this last week. I am happy that this Sabbath I am here to praise and thank you for all that you've given me. I live in your light and walk your path. Lord, you bring me all kinds of gifts, my family and friends and the gift of life itself. This Sabbath and day of rest, I am taking time out to say to you, Lord, from the depth of my heart, that I am thankful for every grace you bestow upon me. Know that you watch over me all week, and it's right to give you thanks and praise for all your care and love. Lord God, I ask you to look down upon me and your flock and forgive us our trespasses against you and other people in our lives. There would have been times this week, Lord, when I could have been a better person, when I could have helped others and I didn't. There would have been times this last week when I have forgotten to thank you for your blessings in my life, and I've taken you and others for granted. In this week, I've not always taken time to pray and to tell others about your goodness and grace. Father, forgive me for my sins and my sins of omission. Look down on me with love and bless me so that I know I'm forgiven, and I will strive harder this week to be all that you command me to be. This is a day of rest as you command us to take. In the Bible, you ask we do not do business on a Sunday, and that even the tax collector refrain from collections so that we have a day to honor you, Lord. Grant me a stress-free day, and help me to take time out to just be one with you, Lord, and to dedicate my time to prayer and my family and loved ones. Make me strong in resisting the temptation to allow my thoughts to go to the worries of the week and the job I have ahead. Lord, I know this is the Sabbath, and the time here is for peace and reflection and contemplation of your word. I'm trying to keep holy the Sabbath, but my worries for the week ahead keep intruding in my time and my heart. Help me to understand that I can trust you completely to look after me in all my endeavors for the week ahead. I have a busy week and not enough time to do everything, and there are demands on me in every way. I feel stressed already and feel the worry of the week weighing heavily upon me. Look down and bring me the blessing of peace of mind in the knowledge that you will carry me when I stumble and will help me in all my endeavors this week. Lord, let me put my week in your hands, knowing that you will help me with everything I try to do. Lord, I thank you for all you've provided me in life, for the food on my table, for the love that surrounds me. I'm asking you to turn your attention to those in need on this Sabbath, to those who are homeless, hungry, tired, and sick. On this Sabbath, I ask you shine your light on the less fortunate and bring them some relief from their suffering. I ask that you bless those less fortunate than me, and that you carry those that need your help the most. I ask this in the sure and certain knowledge that you are love, God, and that when you touch the lepers, they are cured. You bring love and hope where you enter the hearts of men, and there are those in need of that touch, Lord. Lord, hear my fervent prayer. Amen.
Three 347-850-1272 is our calling number. 347-850-1272 is the calling number. It is the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. It is best, of course. I'm that guy, J. Ryle. Thank you for spending a portion of your day with us. But as always, I never share the stage by myself. My brother from another mother, the only one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. And I ought to say amen first. And Juan, good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Mama B. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Mary Ann Music. Good morning, Real Genius. Good morning, Rich Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
What's going on to all the people out there? I want to say what's happening. Momo Beezy is in the place to be. Let me go ahead and bring Momo in here because I know I don't want people to get upset with me. Good morning, Momo. I don't know if you want to participate, but good morning to you, my sister.
Hey, good morning, my brother. Good morning, Les. How we doing today?
Good morning, Momo. How you doing? Good morning, good morning.
I'm all right.
Glad to hear that, dog. I said, I'm glad to hear that, darling.
It's been a slow morning for me. It's been a slow morning. I was kind of, I don't know. When they say I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I wasn't cranky. I was just like a little down for some reason. I don't even know why.
Okay. Well, maybe we can lift your spirits up this morning. How about that? Hanging out with your big brothers. Oh, well, I hope so, too, because if not, you know what we're going to get if we don't. So we're going to try to lift our spirits this morning. 347-850-1272 is that calling number. And if you've been listening to the show, you know it's this time where we kind of rap and clap, and it's always a little dangerous on the SMRT mornings because I really don't know what they're going to talk about. So I try to keep it as vague as possible. Let me start off by saying apologies. This past week we weren't on the air because we had some technical, it wasn't a technical difficulties, had some clowns in my working on my property and they severed my internet line. So I was cussing and fussing and I'm like, are you kidding me? So yeah, we weren't able to get on the air, but we did have a rewind in place. Hopefully you took advantage of that. But it's nothing like the real thing, baby, like Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye used to say back in the day. So we're glad to be here live, and we appreciate you hanging out with us on a Sunday morning. You know, so once again, this is always difficult. Don't know where to start. But I'm pretty sure none of you guys are going to talk about this. Brittany Mahomes, Mr. Elias, and I'll lean to you on this one because you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Brittany Mahomes is under fire because she liked one of Donald Trump's tweets or trophies or whatever he calls them. And so she's fighting back. This is not the first time she's, you know, been involved with a controversy. What say you, Mr. Elias? Your star quarterback's wife is liking a Trump post. Does that mean she's a Trump liker? And if she is, here's the bigger question. What if you find out that Patrick Mahomes is a avid Trump supporter? What would you do?
That's his right too. That's you know, that's the beautiful thing about America.
Wow.
You got your right. You got your right to support whatever you want to support.
Wow.
Should I dislike him because he's a Trump supporter?
No, right to support him. But here's my question for you. So you'll continue to support the Kansas City Chiefs if you found that not only Patrick Mahomes is an avid Trump supporter, but the owner, Lamar Hunt, gives to the Trump campaign. Would you continue to support that team?
Did you dislike Michael Jordan when he said Republicans buy gym shoes too?
You can't answer a question with a question,
yeah,
sir.
The question would be yes, I would still support him. Now, my question to you is, did you support Michael Jordan when he said Republicans would buy gym shoes too and didn't do what his mother asked him to do? Bet you didn't stop supporting Michael Jordan then, did you?
Well, let me answer that question by saying this. Michael Jordan supports the same political party that I do. And back in the day, the Republican Party. Oh, my God. So nice. He asked me a question. I'm going to let me finish the answer. Go ahead, Ms. Elias. We can sleep together, but we can't talk together.
You mean to tell me Strong Thurmond wasn't a racist?
Can I ask?
And that's what his mother asked him to go against, and he didn't do it? Stop.
Yeah, you're going to make up some garbage.
I'm not going to make up anything. Mm-hmm. My political awareness wasn't as stout as it is now. That's going to be my excuse. I'm just being honest with you. For the longest, I didn't vote. I mean, you know, hey, keeping it real. Well, it's no wild.
Wow.
Listen, as you get older, you get smarter and you get wiser. You know?
I was 18, bro.
Well, that's you, brother. Your name ain't J. Ryle. I said I haven't started. You know, I haven't always voted. That's a fact. Because when I was 18, I was serving abroad. So at the end of the day, there were times where I didn't even know where the hell I was going. And plus, remember, if you're in the military, at the end of the day, you got to go through the process of trying to... I mean, I just wasn't aware like I am now. That would never happen now, but I'm just telling you that that was today. But it sounds to me that you will support that team. So now, how does that make you? So now, the Republicans won't be this bad.
Let me ask you. No problem. Don't you know that Michael Jordan did that with Strong Thurmond? Are you still supporting Michael Jordan?
Yes, I am. You know why? Because Michael, let me tell you why. My goodness, he asked me a question in the interruption. Go ahead, Ms. Delia. Sure. We can speak together.
No, same thing. That's the same exact thing you did to me. Because I said I still support the Kansas City Chiefs. You know Michael Jordan back in the day supported Strong Thurmond. Now what? A racist Klansman.
Okay. Well, now my question to you is twofold. Mobile B, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry you got caught up in this mess. It's just, it always happens with this guy. Oh, you do? Okay, thank you. I'm pretty sure the pastor's digging this too. All right, so listen. Here's the deal. Michael Jordan supports the Democratic Party now, okay? Michael Jordan gives to the Democratic Party. So, okay, he does not support the Republican Party anymore. But here's my question to you. Did you not support Michael Jordan too, Mr. Elias?
Yes, I did. My answer has not changed.
Thank you, Mr. Hypocrite. Yeah.
Let's talk about hypocrites. Let's talk about what you just said. Let's talk about what you just said. He supported a strong Klansman. Everybody knows Strong Thorne was a Klansman. And he supported that crap.
Listen.
And you still went out to Michael Jordan, the greatest. That's my guy. Michael Jordan this, Michael Jordan that. So stop it. Don't throw a rock, man. We can't talk about what you just said.
No problem. Let me know what you're doing.
Well, if you quit talking, and if you can't throw a rock at the house that has your hand. So you get the same, just get the same crap, but it's okay because you make excuses up. That's what you're doing right now.
Can I talk now?
By all means.
Hey, I have three words for you in response to that whole Michael Jordan thing. So did you. All right, so Momo BZ in the heat.
My answer hasn't changed.
Oh, my God.
My answer has not changed. I supported him, and I just said I would support Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. My answer hasn't changed. Yours has. Okay. That's the difference between
Anyway, you're right. Momo BZ, I have a question for you, since we're talking about supporting people who do, you know, just horrible things. Do you continue to listen to R. Kelly songs?
No, I have not. Okay. Since the incident.
High fives to you and fist bumps. Listen,
even when
I hear it,
I change the channel. And when I hear it in other people's cars, I change it too. And some people, that's my jam, don't touch that stuff. You know how drivers don't like people touching their radio. No, we're not going to listen to that today. Not while I'm in the car. I have people pull over. I'm like, well, get out till the song's over. No, girl, I'm not getting out. We're not listening to it. And that's just my opinion. Everybody got their own opinions. And that's what's so great about the United States of America. And guess
what
else? You can change your mind, too. You people are entitled to change your opinions down the line sooner or later. Will I ever listen to R. Kelly again in my life? Nope. Not by my choice. Maybe if I'm at a party or a cookout and they play, I ain't going to run up there and do nothing like that. But I choose not to listen to him no more. And I really like that guy, for real. I loved him for years. But I choose not to listen to him. And that's my choice. Now, if I get 65 and 70 years old and I want to hear some bump and grind, who knows? But right now, I don't choose to listen to his music. And that's it. And that's me.
Because your moral principles don't allow you to do that, right? Because you know what he's done. So at the end of the day, just like the Republicans who spoke at the DNC, who said, listen, I love country over party. Hey, if I found out that Jeffrey Lurie was an avid supporter of Donald Trump, I would never support the Eagles again. It's just based on principles. That's okay. There are other teams in the league I can follow. I'm not following somebody who supports somebody that thinks my people are trash, who's called my people's countries asshole countries, who has mocked reporters who had handicaps. I can't do it. He led an insurrection on the U.S. Capitol. Not me. Sorry. Won't be going for the Eagles anymore. As a matter of fact, I'd be getting rid of all this stuff. What? Yes, Momo Beezy.
Let me ask you a question, Jay.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
you're not going to support the whole team, but if people on the team, that's Democrats also, what about the players? The players are the ones that's getting paid also.
I can't. If they go to another team, I'm in. I can't. I just can't do it.
You see the bigger picture? If I was on a team, if I was on some sort of team that my coach or the owner or whoever supported Trump, I'm supposed to say, oh, I can't play for this money that you're offering me because you support. That's not how it goes.
No. They can do what they want, Momo. I don't care. I don't control their lives.
I know you
That's
don't
a personal
care.
Choice
but what, if,
for me.
What if a lot of people felt like you, like, nah, I'm not messing with that team. What if they start messing with all the Democrats' team? What if all the Republicans stop messing with all the Democrats' owners?
Let me tell you something. That's not how it's supposed to go.
Everybody has their own opinion and their own belief.
I have an answer for that. I go back
what
to
the people
right.
who support Trump stop listening to your show. Stop doing business with your company.
That'll be a plus. I don't give a damn about that. That's a bad example. They can beat it. But I will say
but
this.
But the bigger picture. You might not care about yourself, but there's a bigger picture. Like, if I don't support R. Kelly, I'm not hurting him. Maybe I am in a way. Maybe people that feel like me are hurting him in a way. But he can say,
Let me tell you this.
The civil rights movement, the bottom line is you got to take a stand. I wish that these young African-American brothers that play for these states that have Confederate flags in their state flags would walk away. Sometimes you got to make the ultimate sacrifice. There are people who are dead and buried because they made the ultimate sacrifice. So it's all about where you want to be. There are people who have been admonished, people who have been banned, people who have been thrown out of families because they stood on their morals. It just depends on how high you want to stand. That's all it takes. And that's just the way it is. All right, listen, great conversation. Man, we could do this for the whole show. But unfortunately, it's time for us to take an NPR news update. Miss Elias is on the clock. Can't wait to see what he's talking about. 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this.
Bye. Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A new round of talks aimed at achieving a ceasefire in Gaza being held in Egypt today. The talks in Cairo follow an escalation between Israel and the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Israel launched a wave of airstrikes in southern Lebanon, as NPR's Hadil Al-Shalchi reports.
The Israeli military called the strikes a self-defense move after it says it received intelligence that Hezbollah was about to launch an attack. Hezbollah says it sent a large number of drones targeting an Israeli military installation and barracks. Hezbollah and Iran have been threatening to launch attacks on Israel after the killings of a top Hezbollah leader in Beirut and Hamas's leader in Tehran. A U.S. National Security Council spokesman said that President Biden was closely monitoring the events in the region. Talks are slated to resume today after Hamas, Israel, and international mediators, including the U.S., all sent delegations to Cairo. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Harris campaign setting new fundraising records. NPR's Tamara Keith reports a campaign boasting about big money and energized volunteers.
Campaign chair Jen O'Malley Dillon says in a new memo that Harris's campaign and the Democratic Party have raised more than $540 million just since she started running for president a little more than a month ago. O'Malley Dillon writes that in addition to money, the campaign heads into September with a virtual army of volunteers ready to reach out to voters. The weekend before the convention, volunteers contacted more than 1 million people. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign released a memo from its pollsters saying they expect Harris will get a small polling bump from the convention, but that it will be temporary. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz will be kicking off a bus tour through Georgia this week. Republican Donald Trump is to campaign in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania on Thursday and Friday. The Russian founder of the Telegram messaging app, Pavel Durov, is expected to appear in court in France today. Telegram provides encrypted messaging services and is particularly influential in Russia, Ukraine, and the republics of the former Soviet Union. The BBC's Will Vernon reports on Durov's arrest.
Pavel Durov was detained on an arrest warrant in connection with Telegram's failure to moderate content and cooperate with law enforcement over its alleged use by drug traffickers, fraudsters, and pedophiles. Western security services have long had concerns about Telegram. The app was criticized for hosting far-right groups. Telegram has yet to comment on the reported arrest of its CEO, but previously the company has said its moderation policies are robust.
Also in France today, police have a suspect in custody who they believe is behind Saturday's arson attack on a synagogue in southern France. Prosecutors investigating the attack as a terrorist act say the man was shot and injured by police after he opened fire on them during his arrest. From Washington, this is NPR News.
Hi, Mark Barden at Sandy Hook Promise here. When the gunman shot his way into Sandy Hook Elementary School on December 14, 2012, he loaded his AR-15 with 30-round magazines so he could continue firing without having to change magazines. He fired 154 rounds in around 4 minutes and killed 26 people. And one of those 26 people was my 7-year-old son, Daniel. I can't bring Daniel back, but I can save others. Please sign the petition and urge Congress to make assault rifles illegal for civilians. There's no practical application in civilized society for assault rifles. We need your help. Please tell Congress to outlaw them now. Thank you.
Online radio at its best.
It's the Sunday Morning Roundtable, where our panelists bring their topics to the desk and to the table. And Mr. Elias is on the clock, as always. Mr. Elias, brother, what are we talking about for the next segment of the show? For the first segment of the show, I should say. So he turned his mic on, but he has control as well. But go ahead, Mr. Elias.
Well, I usually don't, because if you do that, it goes twice. But bottom line is, I think we could talk about the DNC convention, but that would be redundant. But I would like to talk about the fact that RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., dropped out of the race this week. Now, and he's going to be a Trump supporter. And my deal is, do you think that will hurt help Kamala? That's, huh. That's what I want to know. Is that going to hurt her or help her? Because his supporters, you know, they always said if he stayed in the race, it would hurt Trump because it would take votes away from him. But now that he's joining forces with him, will that hurt her? That's where I want to go with that one.
Well, I don't know how we're going to talk about that for a full segment, because to me, this is an open and closed case. I mean, listen, I don't think it's going to have an impact. I think it's going to hurt Trump more than anything. He is a sad caricature of American history. He has that famous last name, and he is a clown with a capital C and K. It's just unbelievable where this guy is. You know, from the story about he found a dead bear and he drove to New York City with a dead bear in his trunk and he dumped the dead bear in Central Park. I mean, who picks up a dead bear in a rental car? I mean, this guy is wacko. But to answer your question, I don't see, you know, I think what's happening with that whole campaign, no one saw this coming, right? And I think if you really sit back and think about it, man, this has been picture perfect, the launch of the Harris-Waltz campaign. I think they did it at the right time. I think people are going to go back and reassess, you know, how do you campaign in the future? Because everyone was talking about, oh, my God, they've run out of time. They're too late in the game, blah, 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 blah. And you just heard in the update that they raised like over, what, 500 and almost $500 million? And she's only been in the race for how long? She's been in the race? I mean, my God. And so that whole momentum, I don't see how it fades between now and November. But, you know, hey, who knows? But to answer your question, I don't think RFK has – I think he's a joke. And it's not going to have any effect on the campaign.
I disagree with you. Disagree with you.
Well, that's not unusual.
Because the bottom line, if they said it was going to hurt Trump to stay in, and it was going to hurt Trump if he stayed in the election, and then when he gets in the election, he pulls all of his voters, plus some of Nikki Haley's voters is what they're reporting, into them voting for Trump. So, I mean, don't underestimate, man. I mean, you can get cocky as hell and all you want to, but look, man, don't underestimate anything. Don't. I mean, because she weighed $550 million. That does not equate to the fact that she's got to win these swing states. And how many people, because they had, if you look at it, RFK had, and he was beating Trump in the polls and Biden in the polls. So don't underestimate.
What poll were you looking at? I've never seen him beat anybody in any poll. I don't know what you're talking about. But hey, maybe you saw something
look
I did.
It up.
Well, I will.
Look it up.
Any significant poll, that guy has not, he hasn't polled over 5%. The reason why I'm not cocky, I'm just looking at facts. The facts are that in order for Trump to win, he has to expand his base. The people that's voting for RFK was going to vote for Trump anyway. So it doesn't matter. You're not making any ground. If you have people, the Democrats are not going to get those votes. Doesn't matter. So you have to expand your base. You have to expand your tent. And that's what the Trump campaign is not doing. They're not bringing in those voters in the middle.
But if those votes are going to hurt Trump, don't you think that increases his chances?
No, because once again, think about it. The Democrats weren't going to get him anyway. So you can sit here and say if the Democrats get 50% of the vote and you have Trump, okay, so Trump is at, let's say that it's Trump and Kamala, right? So now it's 50-50. RFK comes in and he gets 20% of the Trump vote. So now it's, you know, 20% Kennedy, 30% Trump. That still equals 50%. That's still the 50% that Kamala wasn't getting anyway. I mean, it's just, he is not relevant.
Trump. If it was hurting Trump, it puts him at a disadvantage, don't you think?
Listen,
if it was hurting him at first and now it's helping him?
No, it's not helping. Listen, once again, go back to the math that I just used. It was hurting Trump because he was taking, and I'm saying 50-50 just to make it look easy. I'm pretty sure the numbers are more, you know, granular than this. But just about what I just laid out. So, once again, if we're saying 50-50, these two are in the race. You know, she can get 50, he can get 50. It's up for grabs. Kennedy comes in and gets 20%, which knocks Trump down to 30. That means Trump is at a disadvantage because now he's at 30%. Keep in mind, Kamala is not picking up anything on that side of the tracks because either they're going to go with Kennedy or they're going to go with Trump. So Kennedy's gone, so he gets the 50%. It's okay, it helps him, but it's not going to help him in the overall big scheme of things because he is not expanding his base. The Democrats, we're going to never get those votes. Never.
They were never going to get them, but then again, it puts Trump at an advantage because if you give him those votes, That's increasing his chances to win. Because his base is his base. I agree. His base is his base. Democrats are going to get that vote. But his base is his base.
Ms. Elias, it doesn't matter. I mean, listen to what you're saying. It doesn't matter. Let's break it down further. Okay, I am. So let's say that Kamala's at 40%. Trump's at 40%. You have 20% that's in the middle. Okay, you got, out of that 20% in the middle, that freaking, there was 10% that ain't coming to the Democrats. Kamala's not worried about what she wasn't going to get. She's trying to get the people in the middle. Those people that voted for RFK, they are not in the middle. They're not Democratic voters. She's not going to get them anyway. She's not, Mr. Ellis, because they're not Democratic voters. They're not.
The people that voted for RFK were independents.
Okay, well, we agree to disagree. No, they weren't getting those votes because at the end of the effing day, those people, these are the people that don't want to vote for Trump. These are the people that would write, like Mike Pence, for example. Mike Pence is going to vote for, he's going to write in Ronald Reagan.
You just proved your point.
I didn't prove anything.
You just said they weren't going to vote for Trump, but now that RFK is standing behind them, they're voting for Trump. They're voting for him right now.
No, they're not. Okay, well, you know what? We agree to disagree. No, they're not. That's the reason why I feel confident about it. They're not independent voters. They're not. These are people who don't want to vote. Okay, man. Listen, bro, you said I just proved my point. So Mike Pence, if he was going to vote for RFK, which I doubt, but let's say that he was an RFK voter. Okay, RFK is out. So now you think Mike Pence is still going to vote for Trump? He's going to write in Ronald Reagan. He's not voting for Trump, but he's not voting for a Democrat either. The Democrats are not going to get those votes.
If they believe in that candidate that strong, trust me. And you're talking a different animal.
We're talking about
weird-ass people who will vote for RFK because he stands on nothing. But then still, if you see them at the rallies, they're crazy over this guy.
No, they're not. If he was crazy over him, he'd still be in the race. They're voting for this guy because they don't want to vote for Trump. That's why. The Democrats were going to never get those votes. Never. All that does is make the race more competitive. But at the end of the day, it ain't going to matter because he can't expand his base. He can't get people in the middle to go vote for him. And then if you go back and look, she just opened up a 7-point lead on him nationwide. So she is getting the Republicans who are not going to vote for Trump and not going to vote for that wacko RFK. She's making damage in the middle where she needs, because everybody has folks who's going to vote for him. There are people who are not going to vote for, there are Democrats who are going to be Democrats that voted for Kamala. She's expanding the base. That's who's going to win. Oh. Who's going to win in the margins? He ain't going to win.
You know what, man? I disagree with you. This is not a feather in her cap. You know, everybody's like, I heard somebody clap the other day when they said it was never fed to the camp. But it was hurting him. Anything that hurts him is better for her.
Okay.
Anything that helps him is not.
I'm done.
Hey, listen,
it ain't that simple. I mean, the bottom line is they're playing chess. Hey, look, the Karras campaign is playing chess, not checkers, brother. It ain't really hard at all. If you really look at it, it's not hard at all. The Democrats weren't going to get those votes, no matter what their efforts are going to be.
I don't want nobody to be overconfident about nothing.
I'm not overconfident.
I want them.
I'm not overconfident about anything. I'm just looking at facts. The facts are that they weren't going to get those votes. It doesn't matter.
And the facts are it hurt Trump. Anything that hurts him is better for her.
I'm not disagreeing with that. What I'm saying to you is that she is playing the long game. She's getting the undecided voters who are really thinking about this and who are realistic folks. Did you see how many Republicans spoke at the DNC? We're not voting for that guy. She's making headway. Go back and look at the RNC and show me how many Democrats they had step up and said, hey, we're not voting for the Harris campaign. I bet you can't find one.
And let's go back to 2016 and tell them how many white
people. Don't give a damn about 2016. I don't give a damn about 2016.
Most people don't remember history. And they say it's doomed to harm you.
Yes, they do. Because that's the reason why the Republicans have lost all these damn votes in all these elections. People remember this guy's record. People remember his record. That's why. 2016 don't mean nothing because Donald Trump was a myth to America.
Right.
Everybody thought Donald Trump was this successful businessman. We need a businessman in the White House. Now, man, people can see through him, man. He's living in a glass house. People have seen this story.
And they didn't see the same thing when Joe Biden was running?
No, they didn't see the same thing when Joe Biden was running? See, once again, listen. You're not thinking this thing through. The reason why he was doing well, because you had disgruntled Democrats who didn't want to see an old man running. That's what happened. It wasn't the fact that Donald Trump was getting more votes. It's called get out. The Democrats had to get people out. And once they got Biden off the ticket, they were like, uh-oh, we excited again. And that's why you're seeing a change. These are not – the people that are not coming to the Democrats are not folks who were going to vote for freaking Donald Trump. They were going to stay home.
I don't care. The bottom line is I think anything that helps Trump – is something that's harmful for her. I don't give a damn how you look at it, how you characterize it, what characters you use. Anything that harms him is great for me. That's how I feel. If it harms Donald Trump, I'm down for it. But if it helps him, it kind of scares me. And I don't let him pass anything. I don't feel that damn confident. How about that? Well, I do.
So, okay, there you go. I mean, technically what you're saying in theory is correct. But if you jump into the numbers, it's not even an issue. Those votes were written off.
You're talking about polling again. Polling means nothing.
Stop, man. Bro, I'm done talking to you. Bumblebee, come talk to me because this guy can't see the light. It doesn't matter. You're not going to get him.
You're not going to get him.
Why am I going to go and try to solicit people that are not going to vote? I don't give a damn what they do. You're not going to get those votes. Because look at
this. I never said submit to him. That's what you got the whole damn thing confused. I never said submit to him and go after those votes. What I said is that as long as they were going with RFK, it's better for her. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, you sound dumb. I just say she should. No, I don't sound dumb. I don't sound dumb. What you're doing is, watch your mouth. See, what you're doing is you're trying to pivot from this. What you're saying on theory is correct. Okay, yes, Mr.
I never said that they. What did you hear me say?
You told me that should go after his vote.
I said, does it help or hurt her? That was my question. When did I say that?
Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Oh my God. Woo. We have to go to break. I'm going to leave him alone, Momo B, because he's going to have a heart attack. We don't want him to die on air because can't nobody get to him.
You're just like Trump. You misspoke. You're a Trump supporter.
How did I misspeak?
Because
I didn't misspeak, Mr. Elias. What I did was responded to.
They were never going to come to her side anyway.
I responded to a question. You said you are too confident, and I told you the reason why. I didn't misspeak on anything. I still know what I said. Mm-hmm. I was answering your question, sir. Mm-hmm. Period. And then you got, all right, you know, I'm going to leave Mama B. Listen, woosah. Let's woosah Mama B, because that joke about to have a coronary, man.
You know he gets excited, especially when he's misquoted about something. It's okay.
Mama B, what's your thoughts on the RFK supporting Trump?
Oh, you might as well go back to Mr. Elias, because I'm not qualified to voice an opinion on that.
This dude, man, wow. 347.
I don't like to talk about things that I don't have appropriate knowledge of, I will just let you go back and argue.
Well, thank you. What you say? In other words, you're saying carry on? Okay. Listen, all I'm saying is he asked me a question, in my opinion, and I told him my opinion. I don't think RFK voting for Trump or endorsing Trump means squat. I mean, I just don't. Because he really wasn't making any point. Yeah, Mr. Elias is technically right. Anything that helps Trump, I don't want to see Trump get help, but at the end of the day, they weren't getting those votes anyway. So, I mean, it's like, okay.
That makes no difference. That's what I'm trying to say. It was taken away from Trump. It was taken away from him. That's my point. It's taken away from Trump. So now you're giving back to him.
Okay.
You're giving to him. That's the point. They want to get the votes. But the point is, Trump wasn't going to get them either.
Okay.
Trump was never going to get those damn votes.
Yes, sir.
So now if Trump wasn't going to get the votes anyway, and the man bowed out, let me know when I'm off track. He wasn't going to get the votes anyway, and the man bowed out, and so what's the problem?
He bowed out and became a Trump. He's putting his support behind Donald Trump. And he's telling his voters to vote for Donald Trump.
Okay. And see.
So is that the case?
He flipped, and now
the votes are going to go to Trump.
She said J. Rob, Mr. Elias. Okay, so listen. This is what the guy is not understanding, Momo B. What he's not understanding is the people who voted for RFK wasn't going to vote for Trump. And so the example that I used, like a Mike Pence, is a Mike Pence type voter. He's not going to vote for Trump. So he's looking for an alternative, right? So at the end of the day, now that RFK is out the mix, the bottom line is he's not going to vote for Trump. He may write in Ronald Reagan. He may still vote.
And you know still, because of what?
Oh, my God. Oh, my
you
God.
Know so, because of what?
And you know they're going to Trump because of what? You know because of what?
You know what?
How do you know?
Because usually people that stand behind their candidate, like when Bernie Sanders dropped out, that's how Hillary lost the election.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Because
let's use a more modern example,
right.
Shall we? Let's use a more modern example, like Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley's voters still voted for Nikki Haley even though she dropped out of the race. She came and endorsed Donald Trump, and they still voted for her. So what are you talking about?
There's a possibility. Let's look at the possibilities. If he's gone, all his supporters are gonna go where? Do y'all think? Well, we already know what Mr. Elias thinks.
Exactly.
And you know what, Jay?
But Jay, why do you think that's so unbelievable? What Mr. Elias?
I'm not. listen, because I'm just looking at theories. I'm looking at trends. And what I'm saying here is that the people that are not voting for Trump and voting for an RFK, even though if you go look at his polling numbers, he really wasn't doing any damage. He had these friends, people who thought Dr. Fauci was crazy. So these are people who can't say, you know what, I can't vote for Trump, so I'm going to vote for RFK, right? So now the RFK's out the race. Hey, go vote for Trump. Well, crap, we're not going to vote for Trump. So now let's go vote for somebody else. That's what I feel. Now, will some of those people go support Trump? Probably. But it ain't going to be like all of a sudden RFK says everybody go vote for Trump and all his followers are going to go vote for Trump. Because Nikki Haley did the exact same thing. And then you kind of go back and look at some of the GOP primaries. She was getting 10, 15, 20% of the vote after she had dropped out and say go support Trump. So there are people who are not going to vote for Trump.
Because there are people that don't even know. They didn't even know she dropped out. They was like,
well, no, they know.
Back in the day.
They know. They know. They know.
Yes, Momo.
They know.
Yes.
What did you say, Momo? I missed that. What did you say?
I said they were like me back in the day. They didn't even know she dropped out.
The majority of them did. Because they get email messages from the candidate. I get bombarded with email messages from the Harris campaign. So they knew. It's just
you just started voting 10 years ago.
That's a lie, too. Now you're lying. Don't hurt yourself laughing so loud.
Don't get mad, Twan.
I'm going to tell you this. I got one up on Jay because I've been voting ever since I was able to vote every 4 years. I never went to war. I never went to war overseas. But I was at war on these streets, and I still took time to vote.
Well, congratulations, Momo. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Good for you.
You're getting tight now, Momo.
I'm not getting tight because, you know.
You got the right guy for you, because I know you're getting tight. Huh? Good for you, Momo. Good for you.
Look, here comes the music.
That's because we're out of time.
This is the same time we wouldn't have enough to talk about.
Well, it wasn't a conversation. Mm-hmm. It was an argument as usual between the two of us. But that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's who you are. I can't stand you. And we're moving on. Mm-hmm. So now, in this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. You know, tattoos are becoming more and more popular. Now, I'm not a fan of tattoos. Bobby, do you have tattoos?
Yes, I do.
I don't know why I asked. That was a ridiculous question. Now, I know why you got one. And you know, and in some cases, I can understand. But it's becoming the norm. Back in the day, if you had tattoos at work, you had to cover them up and things of that nature. But now it's a part of the American culture. In this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. We're going to take a closer look at this trend. We'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere.
Tattoo studios have a pretty consistent look and structure. Neon in the window, pages of flash hung on the walls, and apprentices keeping the studio clean and practicing on oranges while senior artists tend to the clients. Now, a new generation of tattoo artists is doing things a little differently. NPR's Linnea Anderson reports.
Hi, I'm Ella.
In Brooklyn, New York, tattoo artist Ella Squaw greets their next client.
So nice to meet you, Maddie. Have you been to Nice Try before? Okay, amazing. Welcome.
Squaw started Nice Try Tattoo with their friend and fellow artist, Kirsten Zambo. Five artists work out of the collaboratively owned and operated space. From the outside, it's an unassuming warehouse. But once you enter, you're met with comfy couches, walls plastered with thank you notes, and a wooden dining table in the back. despite being only open for 3 years, it looks lived in, adorned, and curated. Clients like Maddie Dennis Yates prefer this atmosphere.
There's been a real shift in the vibe of Tattoo Studios lately. Just having it in a building like this, like, it's got this sort of coziness to it. You have to, like, go find it somewhere. You can't just, like, stumble in off the street.
In a typical studio, artists schedule some of their work ahead of time, but also take walk-in clients. At Nice Try, artists schedule all of their work. That gives them the freedom to choose what and how they tattoo. For Abby and Griffin, a guest artist at Nice Try, that means using a singular needle to etch designs into the skin instead of a typical machine which uses multiple. In fact, this technique, often referred to as stick and poke or hand poke, is how many independent artists get their start, including those who now use machines.
I think stick and poke for a long time was kind of regarded as not very serious, like in the tattoo industry, but now you can find artists in studios like all around the world that do it, which is really, really cool.
Cruise back to that communal table in the rear of the studio, and Nice Try's artists recall their early days, teaching themselves to tattoo.
We have India ink and a sewing needle. Mana Tattoo planted on my back. I'm like, sure, yeah. I guess so.
It's a formative experience.
Researchers say that collaborative workspaces like Nice Try are part of a bigger economic shift, even beyond the tattoo industry. Trevor Schultz is a new school professor who researches cooperative entrepreneurship.
They are made to look as if they are aberrations, when in fact this is something that is happening around the world, right? So you have a movement that is actively bringing cooperative principles into the digital economy.
Still, some tattoo artists make the case that there are benefits to the traditional shop model that are lost when artists work out of independent studios.
I think it's harder to advance as an artist. I think you need that interaction with the average daily wacko wandering in off the street.
Mihai Bikady owned Fine Line Tattoo, allegedly the oldest tattoo studio in Manhattan. But the COVID lockdown forced him to close shop, and now he works from an independent studio. He says New York tattoo shops all used to operate under the radar because up until the 90s, their practice was illegal due to concerns about HIV transmission.
Sort of underground, clandestine, appointment only, word of mouth, no advertising, no storefronts.
Word of mouth, no storefronts. Sounds a little like the way independent artists do their business nowadays. It's a lineage the artists at Nice Try told me they cherish. And whether clients choose a machine or hand-poke tattoo at an indie studio or a shop, the idea is the same. Art with permanence. Here's Lars Krutak, a tattoo anthropologist.
Tattoos were, cross-culturally, they were always something to be extremely proud of. I mean, they're basically primarily these tattoos were cultural identifiers and identify you as a member of a community.
So when clients leave Nice Try, they aren't just coming home with fresh ink.
Oh, I love it.
It's a mutual exchange. The artists get to bask in the delight of another happy customer.
Cute.
So cute.
And the marking is a symbol of a community much bigger than a singular artist or a singular needle. Linnea Anderson, NPR News.
I want to be a contender. I want a warm belly to sleep on.
A big house.
How do I look? Do I look good?
I want to play hard.
My nails done. Once a month.
I want.
I want a home.
I just want a home. I want someone to love.
Last year, more than 30,000 companion animals came to us without homes. 20,000 of them were felines. Let's make some homes together.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our caller number. 347-850-1272. 53 minutes after the hour, or 7 minutes before the top of the hour, it's the Sunday Morning Roundtable, where our family bring topics to the table that they'd like to discuss. FYI, Miss Vanessa Maybelli from the McAnally is doing what she always does, so she is sorely missed. But we have the first lady in the house of the TGRS Radio Network, the one and only Mrs. Momo Beezy in the Easy's. So Momo, Momo said what?
She didn't come to shade.
So Momo, what are we talking about?
Oh, I know what I would like to talk about.
Yes.
Let's talk about those astronauts. Astronauts stuck up in space somewhere.
Ooh.
Wherever they are.
Good one. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Okay,
Miss Elliot. No, we won't talk about it. No, they're just what you lead the conversation. I mean, hey, the only thing I have to say about them is that they stuck. I don't know what else to say. Okay, next. Oh, what do you want me to say?
But no, what do you mean?
What
I want to say? How do you feel about it? Like, would you like if I was an astronaut and I was something with? Look, I watched many movies, so I've seen this happen before, time and time again.
Oh,
but
wow.
Usually they be stuck underwater. That was the movies I watched. Anything that has something to do with water, I like to watch them. They be stuck under there, and the people be like, oh, well, whatever, blow it up, all this stuff. I'm like, what? What is going on here? So I don't know. First of all, I would be traveling out of state. But let's talk about the people who stuck there. Like, I think they went in June sometime. It's supposed to be an 8-day excursion. And they still there. And the people talking about they not coming home until early, whatever early means, next year. What are you talking about? If I was a family, I'll be going crazy. I would be paid. And if my loved one never came back or came back in pieces or came back crazy and discombobulated, I'll be paid. I don't care what kind of contract they signed, what was in the fine print, the bottom print, the red print. Yo, it would be a problem for NASA at its best. That's where I'll start first, and I will work my way up to, Kamala, sorry, but you would get it too. If you, you would get it too, everybody would get it.
I can give my brief comments on this. I'm glad they're taking the right step to make sure that these people are safe, because they try to convince Americans, or the world for that matter, that it's no big rip. But, you know, I guess when they took off, and here's the big issue, I think, when it comes to the overall problem by allowing all these civilian companies to create, you know, spacecraft. What they're really trying to do is they're trying to, once again, they play checkers, they're playing chestnut checkers. They're thinking in another 100 years or so, travel to space is going to be the norm. So they're trying to get in where they fit in right now, so they can be the originators of space travel. So they can charge, you know, $200,000, $500,000 for people to go and spend the night on the moon is some crazy mess. I bet you that's where they're going with this. You know, none of us would be around to see it, but I just think that that's where they're going, and that's why they're starting this stuff now, all these exploratory runs to space. But I think the big issue here is that they don't want a repeat of what happened to the Challenger. Because I saw that happen live on TV. And,
right.
And so it's like we have to make sure it's safe. And I think the big rub is now they're talking about these astronauts coming back on a competitor's rocket ship. So they still have some of that stuff going on. You know, money's always behind a lot of this. But, yeah, it's unfortunate.
That's right.
I'm glad they're safe.
If I was a competitor, you want to take a ride back on my joint, you'd be paying. For real.
Wow.
You know, money got to be made. They stuck where? Huh? What? You say what now? What are you talking about?
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad. We laughing, but it's just sad because there's people up there. And,
and
I also read that the maximum time you're supposed to stay out there on these little journeys is 6 months. That's how long they're supposed to last before you say, uh-oh, and look at the red dot that's flashing everywhere. So what are they going to do? Early next year is more than 6 months if they went in June, according to my math, and I was good at math.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, because I thought there were people in the state, in the space station, like, you know, all year round, but maybe they rotate them out. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. And I think that, you know, for safety purposes, they just got to err on the side of caution. And
yeah, that's why they don't want us to freak out down here, but I bet you they freaking out up there. I know I would be.
Well,
that man up there would have been hitting me upside my head.
No, I think that, you know, those people, they're different. They're different. They're built different. You know, you have to be built different to want to go in space, and you have to be built different to, you know, go and be a, you know, go work and, you know, be a mart, you know, one of those guys that, what is it, a mortician?
A test dummy is what you mean.
No. You got to be built different. I mean, like, it just seems to me you got to have a different mentality. I can never work in a funeral home. I can never cut up a body. I can't do that mess. You got to be built different to do certain jobs.
Yeah, you have to be built different to do the task. I get that. But
yeah,
when the task turned from 8 days to the early next year, I don't know what to tell you.
But once again, you just got to be built different. It's like, you know, it's like when you go, I think about the military, and I think about, you know, to go into, you're going into a hostile environment, and you know that there's a possibility of you dying, and yet you go charging up that hill. You just built different. There's certain jobs you just got to be built. I don't think they're panicking because you knew the risk when you jumped on that aircraft. You know how dangerous that is.
Well, yeah, I agree with that part. But I think they second guessing and third guessing and fourth guessing that now.
I don't think so.
And I do think so. Come on. You told me early next year you don't got a date. You didn't say February 10th, 2025. You said early. Early what? Early spring?
I thought they said February. Maybe I was wrong.
They said early next year. That's what I read, early. And I don't know how early to me is January 1st. Thank you. Get me out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. Your thoughts.
That's the earliest you can be. That's the earliest.
Well,
any day after that. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm freaking out. Now, your comparison with the military, yes, I agree. That is something that you have to think about. You have to think of real hard. But I don't think people go into the military believing they're not coming home. I don't think they do.
Did you think when you went that you wasn't coming home? I knew there was a possibility. But, you know, I was hoping. But, see, don't compare me, because I was hoping that I didn't see none of that mess. I was going there to try to give me some free money. I'm like, hey.
Right,
you know,
that's what I'm telling you. That's what a lot of people think. Especially back in the 60s when you went. There wasn't really that much going on.
First of all, and I heard that, okay? I heard that. But I'm going to let that slide, because I'm a professional radio show host, and I'm going to let that one slide. I'm just going to tribute that to you being I'm just going to leave it alone. So my response is that it's like it takes a special person. Like, for example, to be a person that's a member of a bomb squad, I mean, you got to have some to do that, because, you know, one wrong move, you gone. I just don't think that if you're built that way, then, hey, man, no. I mean, listen, that's the part of it.
The bomb squad example was a good example. That was good. Because most of your military people just went there for the money, just went there for the housing, just went there for your wife and everybody can move, just went there because you want to get off the street, and you went there because somebody in high school trying to recruit you.
No doubt.
And, you know, just like, oh, my mommy's yelling at me. She want me to get out. She want me to find a job. Why don't I do this? We got these people in uniforms at the school. They look pretty snazzy. They look like they
– yeah.
So that's a different type of sin. But to work for the bomb squad, you got me messed up. I'll be sick. If we got a bomb, I'm sick.
Jeez.
Can't make it work.
Like Gail Hughley said about being a Secret Service agent. I can see myself on the job my first day calling in. Something wrong. What? Where the president? He laying in the street. Where you at? I'm behind a truck. Hey, so you got to have
tried
special
my
gumption.
Best.
Yeah, you ain't tried your
but
best.
But he wouldn't listen. Look, he wouldn't listen. Just like when they told Trump to get his ass up and he wouldn't listen. You bet I would have left him right there where he laid.
and they'd have been waiting on you with handcuffs.
Look, they
killed They'd have been waiting on you with handcuffs as soon as you got off the stage. Yeah, right. You better keep walking. 3, 4, 7, 8, 5.
I would have been running to take
Yeah, well, there you go. So, Ms. Elias, your thoughts on the people that are stuck in space?
My thoughts are, isn't it strange that Boeing and SpaceX are behind this? That's Boeing and Elon Musk company. Boeing has had nothing but problems with airlines, and they're still getting awarded with planes, and they're still getting awarded contracts, and SpaceX has had nothing but problems with that Tesla. because they're in court not being sued.
No,
so
they're getting
awarded
for
the contract.
They're getting awarded, Michelle, is because, you know, they're the main player in town. I mean, it's like, you remember back in the day when you had Southwest, you had Indiana Bell, Illinois Bell. I mean, they were it. Then all of a sudden, regulation says, nope, you can't be a monopoly. You got to break this mess up. But see, here's the advantage that those companies have, because they're the ones that ran the infrastructure. And it's the same thing when we're talking about space. These are the people who created this stuff. So at some point, like, for example, they held that press conference at NASA. You know why? Because NASA is their space. So all these companies that are creating all these rocket chips, they still have to deal with NASA because it's NASA's infrastructure. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it really doesn't matter. It's like, for example, and I know I'm getting way off course with this, but it's like, you know, I pay a carrier for my electricity. But if something go wrong, guess who I got to call? I got to call Reliance.
Company.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're the ones that house the lines. So what are you guys doing? we're just offering it to you for a lower price. It's
right.
Like my insurance. I got insurance with ABC Insurance Company. But if something go wrong, hey, you got to call Progressive. Hey, whoa. What do you mean? I'm with you. No, you got to call them. So the infrastructure is still in place. You still got to deal with the main folks regardless. So that's why NASA's involved. Because you're right. These are private companies that are going up in space. But it's all about that dollar bill, y'all.
That's right.
And Boeing, they got billions of dollars for this. Boeing got $4.2 billion. Elon Musk got $2.6 billion. I mean, they put up a crappy product.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I
and that's
that
money's gonna be
great.
Finished quick. It'll be finished quick as soon as my people come home, because I'm having most of it.
Yeah, and then the other part of it is that, you know, you pay consultants. You know, government always pay consultants to do stuff, so you use your time, your resources. I'm just gonna pay you to do the research. You know, I mean, that's just the way business runs. So. I mean, hey, I just hope that they get back well. You know, that's a dangerous business. And, you know, you couldn't get me to do that because I'd be wondering, what happened if I took my – it really can't be that bad, right? What if I lift my mask up just a little bit and just sniff some of this damn atmosphere air? See, I'd be curious to take my damn helmet off while I'm in space.
Don't worry. With all that gravity, it wouldn't come up.
Whatever. You know what? You know, I don't have a response to that.
Oh, that's pretty good, Momo.
You already still in? You good? Okay. Right. You guys are funny. You're funny this morning. 347-850-1275. Y'all turn this. Ain't nobody mad. What are you talking about, man? Calm your tail down, man, for you blow a damn gasket. 347-850-1272.
Calm your tail down.
I'm fine, Cool Breeze.
That's pretty damn funny.
Something wrong with Stelia. We'll be right back after this. You crazy dude. It's nuts. We'll be right back.
Almost took me blind, you're so damn fine.
And I know you were meant to be with me, part of my design.
One time.
You be the song, I'll be your pepper. Give you flavor forever, leave you never. Don't you know, girl, that I'm down for whatever.
You be my lemon, I'll be your tea, pure and naturally. You be my leaf, I'll be your tree. Your very definition of
breathe.
You've been going my way.
Since you've been going my way, baby.
Everything's been going my way.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday to Friday. I'm so happy you just made me wanna say to you. and fine.
Thank you. And wow. I know you were meant to be with me. Part of my design.
One time.
Like cars need gas to function. You're my and butthole conjunction. In a Cadillac with the trunk pumping. Always down for some.
You be my feather, I'll be your wings. Going to fly things. Shining like some diamond rings. Enjoying what happiness brings. Oh yeah, yeah.
You've been going my way.
Since you're going. To the girl who needs to be with me, part of my design.
One time.
Living in my wild days, did I think I'd find someone like you? I like your style, your swing, your action, everything about you say true. You appeared before the sun, almost made me blind, so damn fine.
Thank you, you're the one who's meant for me, part of God's design.
One time.
Hi, I'm Tim Walz, and I'm proud to be Kamala's pick for vice president. If we want to win in November, we need grassroots supporters like you stepping up and pitching in right now. As a former social studies teacher and football coach, I'll say it feels like the first day of school. Kamala Harris is showing us the politics of what's possible, and she'll lead with the same joy and grace as our next president. But the only way we win this thing is if we stick together. Any amount you give now will make a big difference. So please consider sending a donation to our people-powered movement today. Thank you.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It is the Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday. Glad you guys are in the house. Hanging out with my sis, Momo Beezy and the Heezy, and, of course, Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. Vanessa is traveling abroad. Miss her, as always. And, of course, Jerome is off this morning as well. Miss him. It's the Sunday Morning Roundtable where we bring topics to the table. Our staff brings topics to the table. And so, you know, I guess I'm on the clock at this point. You know, the DNC happened this past week. And when I tell you that I had never seen a Democratic, I've never seen any company, party's convention the way they did it, I'm impressed. I've never watched a convention every day that it was on the air. And I watched the Democratic DNC every day, you know, with Michelle Obama. I guess she's no longer talking about when they go live, low, we go high. She's like, nuh-uh, I'm ready to fight. It's time to fight. And she brought the noise. Of course, President Obama do what he does. Bill Clinton does what he does. Went way over. But the big complaints by pundits were that the Democrats were taking too long. Some of their main speakers weren't in what they called the prime time spotlight. So, like, for example, President Obama, when he spoke after 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And they're saying had he spoken earlier, he would have really gotten millions and millions of listens. But because they had him so far down, because it was so far out, people were complaining about that a little bit. But I think the biggest thing that I want to talk about is how deplorable the Republicans are. You know, when Governor Waltz gave his acceptance speech, there was a moment where they showed his son, Gus. And his son, Gus, was so enthusiastic and so that's my dad. He has a disability, right? And the Republicans went after him.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans went after him.
Mm-hmm.
One of them called him a pudgy bitch boy. And then they came out, oh, well, we didn't know he had a disability. It didn't matter whether he had a disability or not. I thought that the children were always off limits when it comes to these types of
things. Off limits. Not when that stopped when President Obama got in office. That stopped when he got in office. I hate to tell you that, but that, yeah, they always off limits. When President Obama got in office, they came back on.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, because he was the first black president with the first black family, and everybody was first. The black man, the black woman, the black little kids, and it wasn't even a dog black.
Bo and Sonny, yeah. And even the dog was black. Whew, Lord.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, it was a great picture. It, you know, I miss those days. But I think, and let's just talk about the feeling. All of us are old enough to remember how it was in 2008. Now, I'm going to sing an old gospel song from back in the day. I got a feeling. And so I'll swing to you, Momo. Are you feeling the same thing you felt back in 2008, or were you incarcerated and you really didn't understand what was going on?
Wow, there's that shade. There it is. I knew it was coming.
That's not a shade. That's a cloud. That's a cloud. That's not shade.
Well, oh, just like me, you know, when you joined the military in the 1960s, yeah. Hey, touche, Monsieur Pussycat. So anyway, so are
well,
you getting the same feeling?
In 2008, you was in the Army in the 60s. That's when you first
joined. That's a lie. That's a lie, and the truth ain't in you, but that's okay. So now, how do you feel about what's going on here? Do you feel something? What do you think?
You mean about the election in general?
Yeah. Think about 2008. Do you got that feeling? I mean, are you feeling like you're not? Wow.
I don't have the same feeling. How could I possibly have the same feeling when that was my first? It's just like sex. You can't have the same feeling as you did when you first had it. That's impossible.
What are you talking about? Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I was just trying to make a simple for you, you know, to compare. But, no, I don't have the same feeling now.
Excitement. You don't feel the excitement. You don't feel like there's something happening here, something special, something historical is about to kick off. You don't have those feelings at all? Oh, wow.
I don't. Well, I really don't. Because
Thank you, Debbie Downer.
No, I'm not trying to be. You asked me a question. Here go the opinions again. Everybody got one, so just be cool. I don't, because, first of all, she's a woman. She's black. And I hope for the best, but I'm not gonna be surprised. So, back in the day, I was hoping for the best, and I knew it in my heart. I knew it. You know how you know something, just like when you know you're pregnant. Oh shoot, I know. So I knew back then what was gonna happen. I don't know. I hope, but I don't know. This world is crazy. And look, we've seen it one time before. I didn't think Trump was going to win the first time around. I really didn't. I didn't think that at all. I didn't think that was possible. But it happened.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that, Mamon. We appreciate you. Mr. Elias, man, do you feel something, man? Do you feel that there's something magical happening in the air? $500 million in fundraising in less than 30 days? You know, I mean, you're seeing just the polls are, I mean, the latest poll shows her up anywhere between 7 to 10 points, and these are brand new polls.
Miss Elias don't believe in polls.
Well, I know, but I mean, listen, well, I mean, most, you know, and I think that's a Jerome thing, but that's okay. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, these people pay for these polls for a reason. There's a lot smarter people in the business than we are, and if they're spending that kind of money on polling, that's giving them, you got to take a temperature where you are. So I think they are important. Now, how, you know, are they accurate? Probably, maybe not.
No.
But I do think it gives you.
No,
Mr. Elliott
told
you
he's accurate
because
he used to play on the phone when they would call him. You remember he used to play on the phone?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, when they call me.
Yeah.
They call me.
He was the only one.
I'm voting for Donald John Trump. I always tell him that when they call me. Sure do.
Yeah.
Why did you feel that was a smart thing?
Ain't none of their business who I'm voting for. That's why I do it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Hillary thanks you for your participation. Jesus Christ.
No problem.
This guy here.
No problem.
I mean, my goodness, just hang up. Don't answer. Just say, you know, you're just going to throw these crazy
numbers
out.
That's what you would do. Why can't I do what I want to do?
You're right. We don't need Russia. We don't need China. Okay.
I'm not too excited about it because I'm looking at Donald Trump and what he's doing and how he's telling people, I don't even need your votes. You know, and he's saying stuff like, Christian Nationals, hey, all you got to do is vote this time, that'll be it. Man, hey, dude, on the horizon with this guy. People are not paying attention. Do I think Kamala's going to win? I think she's going to mop the floor with this guy. But what do I think is going to happen? It's going to be some trickery. I think it's going to be some trickery.
What do you mean by that?
Mop him up.
What do you mean trickery?
You know what, man? They're putting people in place to deny the election.
Well, of course.
I think she's going to mop him up. I do. That's just my opinion. But it's going to be a close race, but I think she's going to win. But my opinion is there's going to be some trickery. They put people in place to deny the election, and this is what we're going to continue. Because this dude cannot lose to a black woman. But he's going to lose to a black woman.
Right.
But
right.
Am I excited? Do I see the same energy as when Barack Obama ran? I see more energy.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
Am I scared? Yes. Because this dude he keeps saying as long as it's a free and fair election, I'll accept it. What is a free and fair election? And in his mind, a free and fair election is that if he wins, if he loses, it's not free and fair. So I'm nervous.
Well,
I'm definitely nervous.
Well, I think we all are because at the end of the day, like you said, they're putting things in place to try to stop some of this nonsense. But I also have hope, and I have hope because you know I remember a few shows back, Mr. Elias was talking about nobody's not familiar with Project 2025. Oh, everybody's familiar with Project 2025 now because they are pushing it. They are really putting that message out there. People are starting to pay attention. Look at the Nielsen ratings. People tuned in. The Democratic convention, the DNC's convention, outrated or whatever the RNC, and you know that guy is having a meltdown. Look at the stuff he's posting on Truth Social. Matter of fact, investors are saying Truth Social is heading down the toilet. Everything he touches is turning to coal, and I just think that it's a wrap for him. And I think why he's panicking is because he knows that if he loses this, there is no doubt he is on the straight. He's on the express to jail. He knows it. He has to win this election.
He
has to win this election.
He's not going to jail. He's not going to jail.
Trust me.
He's not going to jail.
Trust me when I tell you this. Listen. He feels that if he loses these elections, his ass is going to jail. That's what's going on. People in Trump camp have already said that's what he's feared of. That's what they're saying. He's scared of going to jail. And he knows that if he doesn't win, the chances, they increase. That's for damn sure because he can't stop it. He can't stop it.
When he first got all these charges, he wasn't running for presidency, right?
Yes, he was. That's how he got the charges. He was president. What are you talking about? That's how he got the charges. all that illegal mess he did while he's in the White House. What are you talking about?
No, I mean, before he started running this term, for this term, the charges was already in place.
Yeah.
So all these charges just came on when he ran for president for this term?
Oh, no, no. Well, he got some new ones while he was running for president, yeah.
The only one he would have been getting was the New York case. That would have been the only one. But then he got the January 6th thing done while when he left office. Then he got the illegal documents case while he left, when he left office. He's a complete idiot. He was running for president.
He was running for president when they raided Mar-a-Lago. Because the first thing he put out was they raided. Yeah, he was running for president when they raided it. Because he said on his True Social that, hey, they're going to raid the house of a presidential. They're trying to fix the race. So, yeah, he's picked up some along the way, Momo, yes. It's like collecting seashells on the beach. He's just picking them up.
Had he not taken those papers and had he not done the January 6th thing, the only thing he would have probably been facing was the charges in New York.
No, in Georgia, too.
Well, in Georgia, too. Well, that's, you know, yeah. He made that call.
Yeah, that's
part of the January 6th, though. Yeah.
That's not part of January
6th.
I didn't say that. I never said he wasn't going to. I changed my vote for him when the Supreme Court. And I admitted it. See, here's what I don't get where y'all going. I can admit if I made a mistake. I said, hey, I changed my mind. People change their minds all the time. I'm not going
to. Okay. Let's rewind this episode to the very beginning.
Please do. I said back in the day I didn't vote. I'm not going to sit here.
No. I'm not talking about that beginning. I'm talking about the beginning where you was against anybody changing their mind and their opinions and their votes and everything. You was against all that.
I was never against that. What are you talking about?
What?
I was never against that.
Why do you think I got on here and said people can change their minds and their opinions and they're entitled to? Why do you think I said all that? Because I just
Momo, I don't know why you said all that. I've never had a problem with people changing their minds. You have problems with people who flip-flop, right? When they're talking to you, say what makes sense to you than when they're talking to somebody else. People can change their minds all day. Like one of the things Trump is going to try to do with Kamala Harris is to say, well, she's changed her mind on taxes for the people who get tips in Las Vegas. Okay. President Obama changed his mind about same-sex marriage. You know, if somebody presents facts to you and it makes sense, then yeah, you should be entitled to change your mind. Why not? Haven't you changed your mind on something? Yeah.
I changed my mind on a lot of things, but really? I'm not the one who's complaining about people who change their mind. I'm not the people who's saying, if you rock with Trump, I don't know what to tell you.
No. That's not changing your mind.
Everybody got
their entitled
to their own opinions. You don't know what they changed.
That's not changing your mind. The example you just used don't make sense.
You can't cancel everybody out because you don't know how they woke up, what they thought, what they thinking now, what I'm going to think tomorrow. What if I turn into a Trump supporter tomorrow? I will no longer be on this show.
Thank you.
So what would happen if one of your family members became a Trump supporter?
What do you mean?
What if one of your daughters said, Dad, I support Donald Trump. Would you disown him?
No, I'm not going to disown my kids. That's stupid.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, that's
so
stupid.
What would you do?
They just can't come in the house no more.
No, you just can't talk politics. Listen, it to me, it's no different than one of the reasons why, you know, as an HR professional, one of the reasons why they tell you don't discuss politics at work and religion at work, because everybody has different opinions. I work
That's
with
right.
people who support Trump. So, listen, don't bring it to me. I don't care. Do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it.
Look, Lex, no more college fund for you.
hey, the hamburger money. Hey, look, the hamburger money will be reduced. That's for damn sure.
Wow.
Yeah, hey, you're damn right.
Wow.
Damn right.
Wow.
Why my ass? Damn right.
Look, you better make good grades this semester because it's gonna be your last semester.
Hey, me sending you $100 for college, hey, that mess that went down to $20. No, thank you.
Wow.
Hey, call it what you want.
$19.99.
Yeah, don't you want to go? That's what Prince said.
You were this on your family member, but the team you support, you were this on them. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't support them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't support them. You're right. I wouldn't support them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't support them.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world to me. It does. Yeah. Like
makes
Jerome
sense.
Said,
yeah.
I can't believe, and I can't believe I'm quoting the great Jerome because he's usually, you two clowns are usually on the same picture here. But I'm going to tell you this. Like Jerome said that, hey, parents should be telling their kids who to vote for. It's all a part of that village to raise a child. You got to be the one that set the example for your children. So, yeah, I'm telling my children what they need to vote for. Just like you, Momo B, what you say. You took your son to the polls, hey, press this level. So stop it. That's what we do.
That's what
I said.
He didn't stop it. He didn't know. Right. He didn't have a mind to change. I'm just telling him what to do.
Oh, bam.
Like he had facts and things and this and that.
Say it,
Mama. I'll tell you what to do.
Say
no,
it,
I'm Mama. Just saying.
Yeah,
he was set on voting against Obama or whatever. He just thought, I don't have to go vote at all. And I don't vote for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No can do.
He could have went in that booth and on the paper and put anybody he wanted.
Yeah,
I would have never known.
Y'all act like y'all.
So he was another Jay Wilde where he didn't vote.
Sticks and stones, Mr. Elliott. Sticks and stones may break my damn bones, but your words will never hurt me. We'll be right back after this. Bump you, dude.
And you could have voted back then.
Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging? too much. Those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
Smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
347-850-1272 is our caller number. 347-850-1272. It is the serious side on a beautiful Sunday. Glad you guys are here. I want you to hang out with the show. You know what time it is. It's time to say good morning to our crew. What's going on? Good morning to you, Momo BZ in the Heezy.
Good morning. Good morning to the world. I'm feeling much better. I'm feeling much better. I'm energized. I'm socialized. I'm okay.
You know, I on my way back from Snyder, Texas, dropping my kiddo off in college, one of the old shows came up, and it was a Christmas show. We were doing the on the eighth day of Christmas. When I tell you, I almost had a wreck coming back listening to that mess. Oh my God, folks, do yourselves a favor. I found out that every episode of the old J-Rod show is still out there. If you do a little digging, you can find them. Just go out. If you're having a bad day, I promise you, if you find some of these episodes, oh, my God. Then the This and That game came up, too. I'm like, oh, my Lord. It's funny radio. Go back and listen. You'll laugh. That Momo B is something really is wrong with her for real.
Yes.
When the show first.
To see between my titties.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey.
Oh, you put that.
You take it
to the
game. You take it
to the trailer.
Amen, man. Mr. Elias in the house. Good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you and Juan. Good morning, Nestor Juan. Good morning, Momo B. Juan. Good morning, Kathleen Juan. Good morning, Will D. Juan. Good morning, Rick Sister Juan. Good morning, Mary Music. Mary Music, that first song was One Time by Jill Scott. The last song was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen and the late, great Freddie Mercury.
Mm. Amen.
Good morning, my brother Hulk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
I'm going to tell you something, man.
And you know what? I want to do something that's never been done on this show before. Uh-oh.
You do that every time you open your mouth, but go ahead.
No. I want to do this. And I want to give a shout-out to Mr. L to the E to the S, and I want to say, mwah, 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 mwah.
Right back at you, baby.
And that's never been done on the show? You always throw yourself in the air.
Nobody blew him no kisses after he said that to them. Nobody did.
Well, that's a damn shame.
No, she's right.
Okay. Yeah, she's right about that. Okay. Ms. Elias, can we say hello to
and
some people in the chat?
Don't y'all start coming up here doing that either.
She said, y'all, oh, my God. You're taking it too far. See, this
Sorry.
Is why you're taking it too far. Thank you. Ms. Elias, can we say hello to some people?
We got Covina Man and Momo B's in there with us.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found my way through the rabbit hole.
I want to say what's up to the pastor. What's going on, pastor? Forgive her. She not know what she do. What's up to Gigi, Caitlin? What's happening to Chris? I want to say what's up to everybody that's out there. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Real Dilla, love you, girlfriend. Glad that you're the lady cab driver. Her old Monica from back in the day. Just love you. Just every now and then you just get caught up in this support. I heard some phone calls from people we hadn't talked to in so many years. Just a lot of support over the years. So thank you.
Like Princess Odia,
You know what? I actually heard from Princess Odia here recently.
I did too.
Interesting. Okay.
She's making a drive back to you. Working my way back to you, babe.
Oh my God.
Come on. Family always family.
It's a Sunday morning roundtable.
You're not a Trump supporter.
Sunday Morning Roundtable, where we talk about things that are not on the agenda. And so it's three of us, so that means the pendulum swings back around to Mr. L to the E to the S, man. What are we going to talk about, man, for the remainder of the show?
Oh, I know something we could talk about real quick. Probably only take 2 minutes.
Yes.
The death of, what's his name? Phil Donahue.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, if you think about the fact that this guy, what you see on talk show TV, daytime TV talk shows, that guy was a pioneer. When you really think about it, he wasn't really the pioneer, because you had Merv Griffin, and you had David. What was his name, Mr. Elias, back in the day? Remember Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fought on his show. They got into a fight. What's his name? David Cabin or something like that. Anyway, so you had those guys back in the day, but I think Phil Donahue was a guy that really modernized it for, you know, the folks that, you know, I think he led to Oprah. I don't think we would have Oprah without Phil Donahue, you know? Big ups that's a good one, Momo. Good pull by you. Rest in peace, Phil Donahue. Did you ever watch any of the shows, Mr. Elias?
Yeah, I did. I watched it when he had a couple of my partners on there, man. Yeah, I did watch it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I watched a few episodes. But he's also the man that probably brought us Jerry Springer, too, so who knows? Maybe
But I don't know. What I do vaguely remember about Phil Donahue is that he was more serious with his topics. He wasn't nothing like no Jerry Springer. All of that. We have transitioned so much in the world of talk show, night talk show, from way back. Even when that, what was that guy's name? And a lot of people loved him, but he was on his
Montel Williams.
Messy. No. Montel was serious. I'm talking about the newer ones, the newer, younger white people. His name was Geraldo. But he was.
Hey, they called Kamala Kamala.
I think he started it. I think he started the downward spiral. I don't want to say downward spiral. I don't want to say that, but that's what I'm going to say, because I can't think of a better word to say at this time. Because he had a lot of serious things, but then he started getting messy at the end. I think it was his writers or whatever, whoever, the producers, whatever. But then we got
to me, it was messy in the very beginning.
The nighttime host that came on and started interviewing people, and where they went wrong to me.
A current affair?
It was a Caucasian man, but everybody loved him.
Maury Pogues or whatever his name was.
No, nighttime. After
he
11.
Came on at night.
I never seen him at night.
Yeah,
I got better things to do at night. Look, I got better things to do at night.
When Orlando got hit in the nose in that fight. And they broke his nose.
Yeah, that was great.
That's what took him off. But what really brought him down is when he did the Al Capone, trying to find Al Capone vault. Like, dude, you didn't find nothing. Yeah, he's sad. He was reaching for stones at that point in time, man. He's sad.
Yeah.
God bless him, though.
All right, well, we spent five minutes talking about that. Yes, Momo.
But wait. Anyway. Phil Donahue, he used to be, my grandmother used to watch him. She used to love him, actually. I thought he was all right with what he was talking about, but he wasn't so entertaining. And I think that's where it changed, when the night show hosts started to try to entertain more than just talk, like for real, just like talk. And that's when it started to spiral down, because everybody could go up there. And then while they're in the middle of the interview, they want to say the messy part of such person's life, and that's where it brought more views. I ain't gonna lie, it brought more views because everybody wanted to hear the mess. But then it turned into you're the daddy, you're not the daddy, in the on stage fights and all that. It spiraled down to that.
I used to love to see that. I ain't gonna lie, I used to watch Maury Povich on my lunch hour at work. That was funny.
You know what? This is a funny
they
thing.
Would run up the stage.
I used to watch them. You know, I used to watch it too a lot, like for real. But I was younger then. Now I don't even watch that. I can't even stand to look at the reruns that I used to love. I'm not into it no more. Yeah, it's different now as you go older. But I'm sure it's still entertaining to younger folks. I'm sure it is. Even the reruns.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time they've seen it. I'm sure they entertain. But, you got to roll with the punches and the times. And you can just move on to something else. You can move on to something else. And that's the beauty of life. You've been there, mm-hmm. done that, you move on. So, but, go ahead, Phil. I mean, that's his name. But I call him Donahue. That's why when you said Phil Donahue died, I thought you meant Dr. Phil. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Okay. There you go. All right. So
but that was
really there it
off
is.
To the community, to the late night talk show.
Well, he was a daytime talk show host, but I got you. Yeah.
Well, I watched him at night.
I bet you did. Okay. All righty then. So, Ms. Delius, anything on your mind for the last few minutes of the show? I mean, you know, what about, let me ask you this, man. What about Kamala Harris's acceptance speech?
I thought it was a great acceptance speech, but, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, how the Obamas went lower.
Well, yeah, they did.
When he was talking about, you know, she said about the black jobs, and then President Obama was probably talking about Trump's his joint size. That was so hilarious.
Yeah,
I was like, dude, they went real low. They went low as low can go, and I knew that kind of messed Trump's mind up because, you know, if you think about it, he was tweeting all kind of stuff, but they went low. Yeah, and I've been saying that all along. They go low, you go high. They don't know, you go lower. And they went there. They went there, and I was so happy to hear it.
You know, that was so funny. Right before day two of the DNC, they interviewed Donald Trump, and Donald Trump said basically that he likes Obama. He said, well, I think he's a terrible president. He was the worst president in the world. But I kind of like him. I respect him. I bet you he didn't say that after he heard them go at his ass on Tuesday night. So they brought the noise. I'm like, ooh, okay. Michelle Obama. I don't want to. Anybody telling him that one of these jobs he's going for, what he going to feel about that black job? I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes. They took it there. And I couldn't stop. When I heard that when President Obama did the thing about the joint size, I fell out of my chair. I was like, this dude is crazy, man. And people caught on to it real quick, you know. And when he kept a straight face, that's what really got me. He didn't try to smile. He kept a straight face. And I was like, got him. Perfect.
But here's the bigger picture for me. And I think about how President and Michelle Obama, they are still, I don't care what's happening, they are still the rock stars of the Democratic Party. The standing ovation that she received when she came on the stage and how it was, they are still it. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, every now and then in your lifetime, people, I mean, it's like, you know, we talked about Michael Jordan earlier in the show. Michael Jordan, last shot of basketball was like over 20-some years ago. But people talk about Michael Jordan as if he's still playing to this day. If you go on Instagram, social media, all you see are MJ highlights. All you see are people trying to compare LeBron to him. That tells you something about an individual when how relevant they are. President Obama, think about it. He won the presidency how many years ago? 16? And he is still prevalent to this day. I remember when Joe Biden was running for president, I thought this was the funniest mess in the world. He was stumping in some city. President Obama came up. They went away from the candidate and took President Obama's they took his live. They took his event live. The candidate is speaking. He said, ah, President Obama's coming to the mic. We're going to switch from Joe Biden. And I guarantee you that they will do that again at some point during this campaign. It's amazing.
Because you always look up. You always look up to your first. Like for
I just can't put a finger on it. Wow.
No, it's the first. Just like Michael Jordan. That's his name, right? Yeah, Michael Jordan. We all believed. I was a Michael Jordan fan when I was in high school.
Wow.
That's me. Because he was the best back then, and my father was a Michael Jordan fan before I was. So you go by what you learn at home. If my father's in the room, yelling, Jordan, I'm like, who the heck is that? And then when I realize who he is, then I'm a Jordan. Whoever was against him back in those days, but I think it was some white dude, I think, that was supposed to be good too. But I can't remember his name, of course not.
Larry Bird.
But that's him. So I'm like, wow. But I remember Jordan's name. Barely, but I do remember his name. But I would have, unless he said Larry Bird, I would have been thinking about it all day. Like, who was that dude? But that's what I'm saying. You go by what your household does. So when Obama became the first black president, of course, they're going to represent him to the day he died, or they die first. Whoever dies, they're going to represent him. That's just how it goes. Because you told me about having a winner, you know, somebody of excellence. You know, the names up there, the lights up there. We adore that. In our love, where we come from, we adore that, and we don't let it go forever.
Yeah. That's true. What was so amazing to me, real quick, was that Michelle Obama had went through IVF too. I didn't know that. That was wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Didn't know that.
Didn't know that. I mean, that was a surprise to me, a revelation. And let me tell you something too, and I got to say this about Nancy Pelosi, and you know what? Listen. I know, now I see why Republicans don't like her ass. Nancy Pelosi is going to sit here. She's cheering for Kamala Harris. Remember when all this happened? Nancy Pelosi was open. She wanted an open convention. Now all of a sudden she's on board. Stop, man. I said, you know what, the hypocrisy behind this nonsense. And I'm going to tell you something else. Claire McCaskill's another one. She's on board with Kamala. But I remember as soon as, they were talking about pushing Biden out, I remember her saying something along the lines of, as soon as Biden stepped out, they were like, well, I think it would be natural for Kamala. But, you know, I mean, hey, if they want to do an open convention, now all of a sudden, I told you, stop it, folks. Revisionist history. We'll be right back after.
But you know what I'm glad at? Oh, you going to break?
I am. Hold that thought.
German police are investigating a man's claim that he carried out this weekend's fatal knife attack in the western city of Solingen. The attack left three people dead, another eight wounded. Esme Nicholson has the latest from Berlin.
Prosecutors say a 26-year-old man has turned himself in, claiming to be behind the deadly stabbings in Solingen. According to German media, the suspect is originally from Syria. In a statement posted to Telegram, the Islamic State group described the man as one of its soldiers who carried out the attack in revenge for Muslims in Palestine. In the absence of evidence backing the terror organization's assertion, police say they are investigating the suspect's possible relationship with IS and the motive behind the attack. For NPR News, I'm Esme Nicholson in Berlin.
An independent labor tribunal has ordered an end to a work stoppage at two of Canada's major railroad companies. The Teamsters Union says it will comply with the back-to-work order, but that it will appeal the ruling in federal court. That big storm threatening Hawaii with strong winds and heavy rain has strengthened into a hurricane. The National Hurricane Center says Hone is now a Category 1 storm with top winds of 75 miles per hour, just meeting the hurricane threshold. Forecasters are warning that Hone could lead to flooding and wind damage on Hawaii's Big Island and raise the wildfire risk. The Little League World Series Championship will be decided today. A team from Lake Mary, Florida will play Taiwan later this afternoon in South Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It will be the first appearance by a Florida team in the title game since 2003. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Warby Parker. Their glasses start at $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Go to warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, folks, it is time for Pastor D's State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room. Mr. Elias, man, what do you have?
I have Corina, man, where he said, I don't have the same feeling with Obama because Obama brought the whole package, including the black family. And our very own Momo B says, you can't seriously stand for freedom of speech and rights for people's own opinions, then turn around and say if people ride with Trump, they can kick rocks. That's a double standard. It just don't work that way.
You read comments from Momo B. Why can't you just say that on the show? Oh my God.
Because she put it in the chat. Yeah, it's from the world famous chat room.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Well, leave it to Momo Beezy. All right. Anything else? All right.
That's
Pastor Steve. Okay, Pastor Steve. Peace and blessings, family. He said, Brothers Jay and Mr. Elias, you two never disappoint. I implore all of your listeners to help promote this great podcast. Y'all have been doing this for years and should be on the same level as Shannon Sharp and Chad Johnson. Come on, everybody. Let's get this show elevated to a national level. I hear you, Pastor. I agree, by the way. Hell.
When you're right, you're right.
Ooh, I said hell. I agree. Thank you. Gigi Plano. I'm starting to recognize that name. She said, good morning. Great show. That's it, Gigi? Nothing else? Hey, good morning to you. Let me read a few more. Taria, I keep messing that name up. I'm getting to her a lot. Dallas, Texas. What's up, fam? And then she says, you two shaking my head. Okay, you must be talking about me and Miss Elias. Hey, baby, that's how we roll. That's how we roll. This is how we roll. It is what it is. How we roll. All right, Patricia from Indy says, good morning. Oh, my God. Momo B's sex references got me dead. LOL. They got me dead, too, Patricia. Let me read one more. Mr. Haney, oh, my man, Detroit, Michigan. Good morning. I agree with Mr. J. Hey, Mr. Haney, you don't have to call me Mr. J, but I appreciate it. The RFK Jr. supporters will not make a difference in this election. Appreciate your high fives and fist bumps to you, sir. And we're running out of time. We need to say goodbye. So on that note, everybody else, sorry, can't get you in, but it's time for this.
Online radio at its best.
All right. It is time for our final thoughts. And ladies of first, Momo Beezy and Ahizi, final thoughts, 30 seconds.
Oh, well, oh, we would have had more if you wasn't singing that through the song. But y'all have lifted my spirit. Y'all have lifted my spirit to joy and laughter level. And I wish you both and everybody listening the same. And I'm so glad Joe Biden dropped out for one reason and one reason only. It's because now y'all know how to pronounce Kamala's name, and if she didn't was on the ticket for president, you still wouldn't know how to pronounce it. So kudos. Yes, because I know I hate when my name is mispronounced all the time. So there you go.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you, Momo B. Thank you. The man gets the first and last word, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S, man. Final thoughts.
You know, I always tell people to vote their pocketbook, vote what they want, what they're going to win with. So, look, get out and vote, folks. And if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. So, if you're voting your pocketbook and that's the right candidate for you, who am I to say anything different than you? And I would become a hypocrite if I'm telling you to vote your pocketbook and you don't vote the way your pocketbook votes. Then I become a hypocrite.
You know, I said that a long time ago. I said, you always tell the people to vote their pocketbook. What if vote for Trump is the reason? Okay, but hey, listen, I appreciate the thought, Mr. Elias.
I understand that, because if I wanted to vote my mortgage payment, I don't know which way it would go. But, yeah, I get your drift.
Yeah. The debate of the show is over. It's time for final thoughts. Stay in your lane. Thank you. All right, so my final thoughts.
What if I start thinking right now?
I appreciate my co-hosts. That's my final thoughts. I love them to death. I love them to pieces. That's all I have to say. Let's go get something to eat. Mr. Elias,
yes.
If it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
Go hug somebody today. Show them that you love them. Give them their flowers while they can still smell them. So for Mr. L.A.S., for Momo Beezy and Heezy, I'm Jay Rossi, and have a wonderful work week. And remember, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. God bless. See you next week.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, Guten Tag.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.